Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and I'm broadcasting live from the heart of the American Redoubt. It has been quite a whirlwind, as most of you know. We're going through a lot of changes right now, and wow, it sounds echoey in here. The reason why I'm standing, why it sounds echoey is because I'm in an empty room that is serving the purposes as a studio. It's not much of a studio right now because I don't have a studio, because everything is topsy-turvy right now. And a lot of you have been asking how things been going and how are the changes and the move and the construction and all kinds of stuff going on right now. We are in the middle of it, and it's going to be that way for several weeks. Just to give you a little bit of an update, we are behind schedule. And whenever you have a project like this, like the move that we're going through and the remodeling and so on, it always costs twice as much and takes twice as long as you thought it would. I know a lot of you can relate to that, and that's where we're at now. But anyway, what we're going to do, because I've been so busy, and it's going to be like this for the foreseeable future, probably right up close to Thanksgiving. Now, I want to do a couple full-length shows between now and then. But right now, this over the next couple weeks, is a real big push. It's been so hectic that it's been all I can do just to check my emails, much less respond to any and all the research and the show prep and everything that goes into getting a show put together. It's just been more than I can handle. I mean, you can only do so many things at once, and something's got to give. So we're prioritizing, and it's a good thing and is such a huge blessing. And so we're excited about that, but we just got to get through this this little short season here. So thank you so much for all of your letters of encouragement and your prayers and your support. And we're just couldn't be happier right now. Other than I feel like a big gaping hole in my heart, my soul, when I can't put as much work and effort and preparation as my conviction wants me to for the shows. But you guys have been so supportive and just great. So thank you. And we just want to ask you to please continue to be just as supportive as you have been for the several more weeks to come. I wanted to touch on a couple things. First of all, remember a couple weeks ago, and I have not been able to mention this, when our website was down 2 weeks ago, we'd lost our website for about 3 days. We were not under attack. We weren't being cyber attacked or anything like that. I'm just not big and important enough yet. But what it was a WordPress, which is the platform we use, a WordPress update that when Delta 01 updated, the language between the previous and the current program weren't talking to each other, and it got confused and shut down. So basically our website was down. Thanks all of you for emailing and showing concern and making sure that everything was okay on our end. And it is. In fact, what Delta 01 had to do to get the website back up and running was a monumental task, to say the least. So big, huge shout out to Delta 01 for getting the website back up and running, pulling his hair out and spending, I don't know how many hours reconfiguring everything so we'd be back up and operational. So good stuff. What we're going to do tonight, after I cover a couple of news and commentary topics, there's a lot going on right now, so much that I hate being away from the studio, or not having a studio. I hate being away from the microphone because there's so many things that I want to cover that are so important. And it's kind of timely because right now, while I'm dealing with this, we're re-airing a series that we covered last summer called The Police State in America. And this tonight, we're going to play week 10, which is the third in the series of the police state. And it's the final one. And the next one is covers martial law. Because, of course, there's a difference between the police state and martial law. Although those lines can start to blur together at times. And so we differentiate those, kind of talk about what's going on in the country. But there's so many of you, the listeners, have been sending stuff in. Last week we were covering, or the week before last, we were covering the facial recognition software and things like that that's growing. And at the time when that aired last summer, it is something that was, it was on the horizon, on the radar, something that was coming. But one letter, a listener sent in a letter that said, after I listened to tonight's episode, I remembered a conversation I had with my mother recently. She had recently renewed her Oregon driver's license. Just before they took her picture, they informed her that she would be entered, or they would be entering her picture into a facial recognition database. And after a little research, this listener found that Oregon has been doing, they've been entering their driver's license photos into a facial recognition database since 2008. I just thought I would pass that along. Probably a lot of you are already seeing that in your various different states. Another listener letter that I wanted to pass along. John, just to let you know, last night I took the HAM exam, both the technician and general, and passed both. Good job. I only passed the technician when I went in. I missed the general by like three questions. So when I have time, I'm going to be studying for that and upgrading to general. But this guy knocked them both out. Missed only one question on each exam. He says, although I was studying like crazy, I was not able to get all the way through the general material before the test. The program that I was using, the link that I sent you earlier, really had me prepared well. I started studying on the 27th and passed both exams on the 8th. I would recommend the program to anyone needing to prepare for the exams. And of course, I ran into this redoubter at the Spokane Preparedness Expo, and he mentioned it again. And he says, this has been just an amazing program that really helped him prepare. And he says, I highly recommend it. So I want to pass it along to you, the listeners. And I'm going to put it on the highlights and resources posting for tonight's show. But this is, the website is www.hamradiolicenseexam.com. Hamradiolicenseexam.com. And I'll be posting that as a link so you can go right to it. Some of the stuff we've been covering or watching this week as concerned citizens, watching the direction of our nation, these dog and pony shows going on, known as debates, have a lot of people's attention, of course. A lot of you, and one thing that we are very strong proponents of, is that we really believe that if you're going to affect true change that's going to affect you, your day-to-day life, something that you do have control over, unlike the two-party system, which are both basically the same thing, Republicrats. I've been Republican most all my life. I voted for Chuck Baldwin, Constitutionalist Constitution Party, for the first time ever in 2008. But if you want to really affect change, then you need to do that locally. And we've covered this in the past with Agenda 21 and some of the other stuff that's going on. Those decisions are made on a local level. Those people locally, your state representatives, state senators, your county commissioner, those are the people that are making decisions on whether or not to implement global agendas right in your community. So there's a couple of resources I wanted to point out to you. When I went to Pastor John Weaver's speaking engagement over in Spokane several weeks ago, one lady had a resource, and I got her card. And for those of you living in Eastern Washington, there is a resource there to help you make decisions on how to vote. Several of you have emailed me saying, you know, hey, what do you think about the elections? Well, I think the elections, well, it's obviously, it's your, as a citizen, it's a not only a right, but a duty. But I also believe that the higher up you get on the national level, the less control you really have and the less of an effect it's going to have on preserving Americanism. I think you need to do that locally. One resource is WeBelieveWeVote.com. They have a lot of research really studying from a Constitution, Christian, liberty-loving citizens perspective. And they've done a lot of great work over there. I checked out their website and looked over it. I'm not familiar with a lot of the people because I don't live in Eastern Washington. But WeBelieveWeVote.com is the resource for you guys over there. Also, there's a lot of information that's being cycled out there and circulating out there. I do not have, there is also a great resource. I'm going to have to research it and pull it back up from my previous emails. And so Darwin, if you're listening, can you shoot me out the voter guide that you had me look at before? I'm going to have to go back through there and try to find those. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to just do a little bit of research through the emails, get that reposted. And this listener sent a lot of information really pertinent to for Kootenai County residents. And that's over there in North Idaho. And of course, that is one of the highest concentration of redoubters that we have is in the Kootenai County area and the North Idaho in general. Okay, one other thing I wanted to mention too, a letter from a listener. In regards to your mention of anonymous internet activity, something else I can recommend to you and your listeners is switching search engines. Stack that with proxy use. It is pretty good privacy-wise. Switch to duckduckgo.com for web searching. And, of course, he's got an article over there at a blog that he operates called AmericanExceptionalist.org. And I'm going to post both of those because I think it's really important. And how this came up is in the last couple shows, we were really promoting Proxify.com and some other anonymous web browser for security, protecting your personal security and hiding your IP address and so on and so forth. When you are surfing the web and going to various different websites to maintain your anonymity so they can't track where you're going, where you're coming from, who's visiting, and so on. So this listener was responding to that. And we're always looking for more internet security resources. We want to post those. I'm going to get these posted up so you can look at those. I think it's really important to be as anonymous as possible on the internet to hide your personal information. All right, a couple of news articles that I wanted to touch on. Boy, and some of these, as soon as they hit, I got waves of emails from people. You guys heard about the traveler who had flown to Hawaii and went to get back on the plane on the return trip and was told that he was on a no-fly list. And apparently, because he is a prepper. He's a prepper. He was labeled as a prepper. You getting this? And put on a no-fly list. This stuff's getting out of control. And of course, that all falls under DHS. And speaking of that, there's a new bill. I just got this in this afternoon. This was originally posted at naturalnews.com, but a listener sent this to me this afternoon that U.S. Congress introduces a bill ordering FEMA to conduct mass fatality planning. While millions of Americans were busy watching the elephant puppet battle, the ass puppet at the latest political circus, the United States Congress quietly introduced, that's how they usually do it, isn't it? A new piece of legislation ordering the Federal Emergency Management Agency to begin preparing for mass casualties throughout the country. House Resolution 6566, you can look it up yourself, also known as the Mass Fatality Planning and Religious Considerations Act, would amend the Homeland Security Act of 2002 to mandate that FEMA immediately begin conducting mass fatality planning in preparation for a major event or series of events that may kill off untold numbers of people. Of course, they did not specifically name an event or anything that they expect or anticipate, but they are definitely stepping up their pace for preparing for mass casualties. And we've seen this in some of the other DHS, their policies, and some of the other activity that's going on over there. I'll post that link so you can go check it out for yourself. And speaking of Homeland Security, October 7th, Just a couple of weeks ago, Homeland Security graduated its first Corps of Homeland Youth. October 7th, 2012, in Vicksburg, the federal government calls them FEMA Corps, but they conjure up memories of the Hitler Youth of the 1930s Germany. Regardless of their name, the Department of Homeland Security has just graduated its first class of 231 Homeland Youth. Kids, aged 18 to 24, and recruited from the President's AmeriCorps volunteers. They represent the first wave of DHS's Youth Corps, designed specifically to create a full-time, paid, standing army of FEMA youth across the country. And of course, remember when Obama was running for president, the first time around, he was boasting of putting together a force that's better armed, better equipped, better trained, better funded than our military. Well, we're starting to see it. Let's see, some of the news. Let's cover some of the news from across the American Redoubt real quick before I turn you over to week 10. Towers over 50 foot require markings. And this is in out of the Idaho Statesman. New rules for you ham operators. Have tall towers? Well, this is really the article states that this is really geared toward commercial communications towers or any other types of towers. More than 50 feet should be required to be red and white diagonally striped and have a light or beacon at the top. Now, a lot of you have 55, 60, 65 foot towers that are ham operators. Doesn't appear that they're targeting ham operators at this time. Of course, a lot of the ham operators that I know that have 50, 60 foot towers, the tops of the towers are about 20 feet below their tallest trees that are on their property. So I don't know. We're going to have to start putting light bulbs on the tops of all of our trees if they're more than 50 feet. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that's going to get enforced. But anyway, just a little heads up. Let's see. In Idaho, concealed weapons costs shoot up. For those of you living in Idaho that are planning on either obtaining for the first time or upgrading your permit to renew it, the criminal background check, they say most gun owners don't mind because it's only a few bucks. Well, it's $15 actually, and it's going from $5 to $20. That is a 400% increase that the state is passing. And of course, all the counties are following suit because they're going to match the fee amounts that the state sets. Let's see, another one also from Idaho. Idaho is in the news this week. Police were en route to a domestic violence complaint, and 911 transcripts indicate in southern Idaho one deputy warning another that the subject of the complaint is a constitutionalist. Heads up, constitutionalist, dangerous. And apparently, some of that federal fusion center training did sink in. It's okay to politically profile those who follow the words on our founding document, right? And that was, of course, covered over at truthistreason.net and freedominourtime.blogspot.com. There's several blogs picked up on that article. And, of course, that's really interesting for us because this happened in the southern part of Idaho, the American Redoubt. There's a resource I want to pass along to you. It's called Guerrilla Radio Listening and Broadcasting. And that's at johngaltfla.com or johngaltfla.com. Florida.com. Guerrilla Radio Listening and Broadcasting. Very interesting article. I wanted to post a link to for listening to shortwave radio, ham radio communications, and even transmitting. One that I think is worth a read. Okay, let's see. I want to just shut this down. Preparedness Expo in Priest Lake. Before I do, before I send you to week 10, final third part in the police state series. They have several classes going on at Priest Lake, and that will be on the 26th of October. I covered this in the last couple weeks. They aren't allowing anyone to sell products at the show. For some reason, the church doesn't want... They don't want any kind of financial transactions going on in the church. They don't want it to be used for that. But vendors can go and display their wares and share information and so on. But they are going to be putting on a lot of classes. And several people are involved in that. They're going to be talking about some of the topics are easy canning, saving seeds. That's a big one. That's a real big one. Saving seeds. Jim's putting that on. Emergency backup power systems, food storage, medical classes, sanitation issues, communications. And of course, we're going to have some show and tell stuff going on there as well. And that is on the 26th of October. And we've mentioned that over the last, 2 weeks ago, we first announced that. And of course, those of you that are on Ranger Rick's emailing list are getting all the latest updates and details on that. So don't miss it and support it if you can. If you're in the general area, make the trip, shake some hands, meet some redoubters, some patriots, people that love liberty almost as much as you. Okay, I'm going to turn this over now. And we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, you're going to be listening to segments 2 and 3 from The Police State, part 3, which aired last summer. Great series. A lot of research went into it. It's an eye-opener. Some of the stuff that we were saying is on the radar, stuff that's coming is now here. The show's a year old, but it's still timeless. It's very important for you to be able to pay attention to what's going on, how your liberties are being robbed away from you, and what you can do about it. But mostly it's you need to have awareness. You need to know that it's happening. You need to know how to recognize it. One last thing. We're going to be voting here in a few weeks. This camp is divided. A couple of different groups of you. Some of you are so disgusted that these are the only so-called two choices that we have. A lot of you are writing in Ron Paul. You're voting for the Constitution Party because it's your conscience. Because really, neither one of these candidates, these two candidates, Republican and Democrat, are going to save this country, no matter what they say. Now, one is going to take us to our destruction sooner than the other. So, you could reason that, let's go with the one that won't take us there as quick. At least it'll buy us more time to prepare. Okay, I understand that. Some of you want to vote for the party that most closely, or the candidate that most closely represents your views, regardless of where the chips fall. I'm not going to advise you either way, because I've had people email me saying, you've got to tell them that a vote for anyone but Romney is a vote for Obama. Or you can't vote for either one of these two candidates, because otherwise, where are your principles? Okay, you need to prayerfully enter this decision. This is a remarkable election, what's happening. But really, the engineers who are destroying this country, that's already in motion. Okay, neither one of these two candidates, actually none of these candidates, can turn this country around. They can turn certain aspects of it around. But I don't know. I'm not so sure that we're not right on the edge of where the Roman Empire was right before it fell. Anyway, I'd like to hear your thoughts and input, you know, on that topic. It's a serious topic. To be honest with you, I've not made up my mind which way to go on this. I part of me really leans strongly toward doing whatever it takes to vote for the man that's opposing Obama, because I want to see him robbed, snatched away the victory so he can't gloat. I want him to face defeat. And then the other side of me says, man, at the cost of having somebody that's really not much different, that still his policies are still going to lead to our destruction. Big government, more spending, anti-gun. So anyway, that's just that's something my wife and I are going to pray about that. We really haven't come to a decision on that. And I know a lot of people out there are struggling with the same thing. I want so bad for Obama to taste defeat. Now, I know the area that I live in, it doesn't matter who I vote for. I could vote for Mickey Mouse. And this area that I live in, it's going to go Republican. It will go almost unanimously Republican. It's going to go, so I could say, hey, I could vote my conscience. And regardless where I live, it's going to go Republican. Democrats don't have a snowball's chance in hell of taking votes where I live. So I could vote my conscience, but then also, man, if it is close for whatever reason, I don't want Obama back in, no matter what. If you're living in an area that's questionable, take that into consideration when you cast your vote. And also, if you're living in an area that is very heavily dominated to the right, and you know that you're with or without your vote, where you live is going to go strongly to the right. And if anything, it'll go Republican anyway, and way away from Democrat. Then support your neighbors. There are other voting districts, maybe not even in your state, but in the American Redoubt. I know that, for example, Matt Shea is battling those left-wing Marxists over in Olympia on a regular basis. It is a brutal fight, and he gets called right-wing, extremist, hate, intolerant, so on and so forth, because he's fighting for Americanism. He's fighting for the things that we believe in. So, if anything, find a candidate that's fighting for what we believe in and support them financially or help out. You can still hand out flyers. You can still get involved in their campaigns. You don't have to be living in their district. You just can't vote. There's a lot of other things that you can do. So get behind the candidates that really have to roll up their sleeves and they got serious battles that they're involved in and support them. That's another solution, another option that you have. So anyway, okay, I went on long enough and way longer than I planned. So you guys have a blessed week. Continue praying for us. Thank you so much for that. And we will definitely continue to be praying for those of you who are in various stages of relocating to the American Redoubt or digging in where you are. If you're outside the wire, there's just a lot of activity right now among the Patriots. And so keep it up. Keep up the good fight. Keep the faith and keep listening. And we will be back next Sunday. I'll be talking to you then and look forward to hearing from you in the meantime through your emails. You guys have a great week. God bless. All right, we're going to take a quick break into our final of three broadcasts in the series, The Police State. This week, we're going to talk about the tools of the police state. So stay right there, my friends. We'll be right back.
If you are a real estate relocation specialist and would like to be added as a resource at Radio Free Redoubt, then contact us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com. and type relocation specialist in the subject line. We'd especially like to hear from you if you specialize in relocating businesses into your community.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who've been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant, and no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, we're back with week 10, broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt on Sunday evening, coming up on 7:30 Pacific, 8:30 Mountain Time. And we're just 2.5 months old, pushing nearly 20,000 page views on the blog with listeners in 40 states. And I lost track of how many countries. Anyway, thank you for being with us. And thanks once again for your many letters of encouragement. Much appreciated, and never take it for granted. So thanks again. Now, the third in a three-part series on the emerging police state. And this week, we're talking about tools of the police state. Of course, we've been discussing all along some of the tools that have been used to bring about this police state, but there's a slightly different twist on the way we're using the term tools. And I'll bring that full circle over the next half hour. But what we traditionally think of as tools of the police state, we think of technology, cameras, software, fusion centers, and media that's used to inform the public on what to look out for in the way of terrorist threats and how to report them. For even more examples, besides the ones we've outlined in several previous broadcasts, we're learning about even more toys that are going to be used to surveil, identify, subdue, and track American citizens. In one article a listener sent, titled "Creepy New Weapons the Police and Military Use to Subdue Armed People," the article explains several so-called less than lethal weapons used to drive back groups of unarmed people for situations such as riots. Now, I have to say, I'm extremely pro-law enforcement, so I have a high degree of sympathy for officers, especially responding to riotous environments. You're outnumbered by the mob, and your job is to keep the peace, sometimes having to confront people who don't want peace, and at any cost. They want violence. A mob or riot environment takes on a life of its own, and it's almost like it has its own spirit. Something takes over and people get caught up in it, and actually will participate and partake in violent acts even when at any other time and place that activity is completely out of character for that person. There's something that affects even the normal law-abiding citizen that turns them into something other than who they normally are. It's strange. I've seen it personally, and it's extremely frightening and unsettling, because when you're caught up in that environment, you feel a sense of dread or despair where you can really sense danger. You can feel it in your spirit, and it's unsettling. And the cops feel it too, and their number one mission is to go home to their families at the end of the night. I can't even put into words the out of controlness that's present. So I don't get too spun up when I see Alex Jones videos showing riot police using water cannons, beanbag shotguns, or ear-shattering sonic cannons to disperse crowds and to stop a violent crowd right now. However, I will say that oftentimes we're seeing sometimes otherwise peaceful demonstrations get escalated to violence only after the riot police show up, where just their presence added a whole new level of volatility to the situation. It's a double-edged sword, and there's no perfect answer, in my opinion. But some disturbing evidence is emerging that agent provocateurs, that's police officers disguised as black bloc anarchist-type demonstrators, they show up, start breaking stuff, smashing windows, throwing rocks, and torching cars on fire, only where the media seems to be present to show how crazy violent the riot is. Only the police are nowhere to be found. They're off tear gassing hippies sitting in the street, locking arms, singing Kumbaya a few blocks away. And there's so much confusing information out there. Sometimes it's hard to know what to believe, but yeah, I support police. But I'm opposed to militarized national police forces and a police state. I want a strong government and I want a capable police force, but I don't want them becoming tyrants and violating the oaths and the Constitution they swore to uphold and defend. The police, now they're beginning to use UAVs. That makes me feel a little uneasy. But what makes me feel a lot uneasy is when they do it secretively and act like it's a military secret in the war on terror, when departments like Houston PD tried to hide their UAV surveillance program until a news crew broke the story. And the equipment and technology that's being given to various civilian law enforcement agencies by our military across the nation is worrisome. There seems to be a blurring of police and military as far as equipment, tactics, and even their missions. And I'm going to tie our military into this in just a little bit too. All these things are tools of the police state. But to the people who wish to destroy our country and fundamentally change America, they will use every stratagem and tool at their disposal. And the most valuable commodity they have are the people in uniform, both civilian and military. That is the most powerful tool they have. And not only do they plan to use that tool, they are using it. And in order to do that, they have to get control of your heart and your mind. This goes way back before 9/11. This is a strong, it's becoming stronger, but it's a long, slow indoctrination process of our women and our men in uniform that goes all the way back to the early to even the mid 90s. Some say further, but Ruby Ridge in Northern Idaho and the Branch Davidian compound incident in Waco, Texas, set the stage for the next 8 to 10 years for a paradigm shift in the way the government began orienting our law enforcement personnel's mindset. There's a video of apparently a law enforcement training session being put on by FEMA. Now, a firefighter who was a patriot sent a copy of the video to Alex Jones at prisonplanet.com. And in the video, the instructor's defining the founding fathers as terrorists. And in all fairness, I have to say I'm slightly skeptical only because I haven't seen the video in full length. So we're not getting the full context of the whole block of instruction. It may be accurate, but I can't verify it. And that bugs me. But what you see is disturbing nonetheless, because it appears that this isn't police training. This looks like indoctrination. But I'll let you watch it. Make up your own mind. We've posted it. Just remember, when you watch it, you may not be getting the proper context. Of course, like a puzzle, you can't get the proper context of what the picture of the puzzle ends up being until you gather other puzzle pieces and begin to arrange them and start connecting the pieces. Then you start to get the big picture and the proper context. So let's look at some of these other examples or other puzzle pieces, if you will. Remember, and this is what gives that puzzle piece credibility for me, is because other puzzle pieces are starting to match up and show us the same picture. Remember a couple of weeks ago we mentioned the MIAC report? That was a document released by one of the fusion centers, specifically the Missouri Information Analysis Center, which outlined potential domestic extremist or homegrown terrorist threats, including people who support third-party candidates, such as Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin, and people who fly the Gadsden flag or who are proponents of the Second Amendment or homeschooling, or people who describe themselves as constitutionalists or who are opposed to illegal immigration. The list goes on and on. But essentially, it paints a picture of God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans as homegrown, radicalized domestic extremists who could possibly be terrorists. Isn't it amazing that in America we've arrived at the place where patriots are the enemy, the bad guys, and the people we were always warned to protect our country from have gained control and power and are declaring themselves as the heroes? There to save the people from the bad guys, from the patriots. This is where we are, where what was mainstream is now extreme, and what was extreme is now mainstream. But wait, there's more. Law enforcement aren't just receiving little booklets saying that patriots are the enemy. They're actually getting indoctrinated under the guise of Homeland Security and the War on Terror, from the federal to the state to the down to the local law enforcement level, how to combat the terror threat in America. And the scary part, which is just an affirmation of what we've already discussed over the last couple weeks, is the redefinition of the term terror threat. One recent piece posted on Survival Blog was contributed by a law enforcement officer known by his pen name as An Insider. Described some of the training he's received from Homeland Security. Among many other things he outlines, he states that officers are instructed how to recognize these domestic terrorists by their behavior, views, and common characteristics. So, what are some of these telltale indicators of domestic terrorism? listen to the following. Expressions of libertarian philosophies, that's statements and bumper stickers, pro-Second Amendment-oriented views, such as NRA or gun club membership, or someone who holds a CCW permit, survivalist literature, fictional books such as Patriots and One Second After are mentioned by name. And by the way, I highly recommend both of those books. Self-sufficiency, such as people that are involved in stockpiling food, which will later be redefined as hoarding. Ammo, hand tools, medical supplies. Sheesh. Didn't that describe our own government? Oh, but they're special. Okay, fear of economic collapse and buying gold and barter items. Religious views concerning the Book of Revelation. Expressed fears of Big Brother or big government. Homeschooling. Declarations of constitutional rights and civil liberties. Or a belief in a New World Order conspiracy. One alarming quote from the article states, a recent training session I attended encouraged law enforcement agencies to work with business owners to alert police when customers appear to be stockpiling items. Once again, this goes back to that Stasi-esque informant society. And of course, a common tactic used in DHS-sponsored training is the slander of certain ideologies by linking an erroneous characteristic to a particular group. Examples of that this officer has observed in the indoctrination sessions that he's attended are posted on our highlights and resources page. I strongly urge you to check out that article by an insider. There's a link there that'll take you directly to that article on Survival Blog. It's a must read because what I just listed to you already identifies you as a potential domestic terrorist, doesn't it? I know, you're nodding your head. So, is this tool of DHS, their indoctrination program, taking hold? Is it having the desired effect? Because the tool of indoctrination, combined with the other tool, law enforcement and military personnel, can make for a very effective system in carrying out an agenda. And we're going to talk about that and more right after a couple of brief messages from the ladies at Radio Free Redoubt. So stick around.
Welcome, and thanks for listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt, the emerging safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving American patriots. Hello, this is Anya. I invite you to join us by tuning in right here from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain, where you can listen to Radio Free Redoubt's weekly one-hour live radio broadcast hosted by John Jacob Schmidt every Sunday evening. If we're broadcasting live, the Stream Monster player will begin playing automatically. If it doesn't, hit your refresh button. If you happen to miss the live broadcast, you can scroll through the list of previous broadcasts located to the right on the blog and listen to them using the Podbean player. With the Podbean player, you can listen 24 hours a day or download the files or embed the podcast file in your own blog, website, or social networking site such as Facebook so you can share with your own audience. Again, thanks for listening. God bless.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
And we're back talking about the police state and the tools that the Department of Homeland Security are using to further their agenda of hijacking liberty and freedom in America in the name of keeping us safer. But is it working? Are the people serving us in uniform allowing themselves to be tooled? Unfortunately, that is happening with alarming frequency. But I want to remind you, there are many, many people in law enforcement and in the military, including the National Guard and the Reserves, who are true patriots that are just as concerned about the direction of our country's headed as any other patriot. So please remember to pray for them, to have the courage to do their duty in protecting us and laying their lives on the line on a regular basis, and especially to have the courage to refuse to follow the orders that are in conflict with their oath to protect and defend the Constitution. But sadly, there are some people among those ranks who are being affected by the indoctrination process. Case in point, This story takes us to Iowa, where the Emergency Management Agency in Pottawatomie County, Iowa, was planning to hold a terrorism response drill at a local school with the local law enforcement, where they created a scenario to make the training as realistic as possible. And they created a couple of bad guys who would be active shooters in their scenario. Here, let me just read from you from the read to you from the article put out by the group Iowa Gun Owners, and I read. In this scenario, two terrorists went into this school and shot or killed close to two dozen people, according to the planning documents. While we emphasize the job of Iowa's peace officers, While we empathize with the job of Iowa's police officers and are happy that they are training to protect the people in Pottawatomie County, there was a major problem with the scenario. The shooter could have been you or me. That's right. The description given of the shooter was of a white male who came from a family of firearms enthusiasts and who was concerned about illegal immigration. In a blatant attempt to demonize law-abiding Iowans who own and use firearms for self-defense, the organizers of this event described what is likely the majority of the members of Iowa Gun Owners. Now, the plus side to this story is that many people from the Iowa Gun Owners were contacted and urged to put pressure on the county leadership, and in a victory to lovers of liberty, the county canceled the training due to the outcry from the people, and they reassured the citizens that this was just a make-believe scenario they came up with for training. Okay, fair enough. I'll take you at your word on that. Just a slip-up. But then later in the article, the following is stated. Now, of course, the Emergency Management Agency coordinator says that county officials were receiving threats, and that's why they canceled the event. Worse still, the coordinator, Jeff Thulin, said that the true patriots are those government bureaucrats who received all the pressure that you applied. Some people never learn. Mr. Thulin's office puts forth a scenario where a person who supports and believes in the constitutionally protected rights of the Second Amendment is portrayed as a mass murdering terrorist in what appears to be an attempt to further undermine our Second Amendment freedoms, and yet Thulin thinks that he and his colleagues are the real patriots. Incredible. Now, where do you think Mr. Thulin got the ideas for what kind of typical bad guys they could be training for? What kind of terrorists they need to be training their so-called special ops law enforcement guys for? Could it be the Department of Homeland Security terrorism awareness workshops he's been attending, paid for by federal grant money? I'll bet my next paycheck on it. So, you think the DHS isn't making an impact with their indoctrination program? Here's one a little closer to home. Outlined in a Patriot publication out of one of the American Redoubt states, Eastern Washington, the publication is called The Palouse Patriot. In their issue number 57, that's 5-7, back in March of this year, they published an article titled, Pray to God That You Never Become a Targeted Individual. In the well-written and informative article, the author, Carolyn, outlines a couple of instances where we see this DHS indoctrination bleeding over into the mindset of our local law enforcement. The following is just the first couple paragraphs from the article, and I want you to go and read the article in its full length so you get all the details and the proper context. So, here goes. Shortly after we began publishing The Palouse Patriot, we received a call from a reader in Troy, Idaho, who said the police chief, a woman, made a comment about turning us into the FBI in Lewiston. Immediately, we headed for Troy and found the chief at a mini-mart. We walked up, introduced ourselves, and she immediately started to apologize. She said when she received The Palouse Patriot, she only looked at the masthead and the word Patriot caught her attention. Just prior to getting the newsletter, she received a memo from Homeland Security advising to be suspicious of anyone using the word Patriot. In the meantime,
She said that she had read our publication and was, for the most part, in agreement with the views expressed. Problem averted. If you're ever targeted, we advise going immediately to the source to clear it up. Excellent advice. And the situation was taken care of right then and there. They weren't, confrontational, but they confronted the issue in a very polite and professional manner, and they got everything cleared up and probably won the support of a law enforcement officer over to the side of the Patriots, the way they conducted themselves. Very well done. Okay, free speech squashed. We had not planned to tell the Troy story. I'm continuing reading. But recently, we learned that one of our readers, Richard Wiltsey, gave an issue of Palouse Patriot and an Oath Keepers pamphlet to an off-duty Spokane police officer. Later on, Richard found out he was put on a list by the Spokane Police Department. The list is for people the police feel might be a potential threat to law enforcement. In between these two incidents, we were told by a Pullman, Washington police officer that we were on a list as well. Consequently, you can see why we are now making an issue, literally and figuratively, of this practice of listing or targeting individuals. And, of course, then the article goes on to read the following. Richard went to visit a friend and upon arriving at his house, noticed his friend was talking to a neighbor across the street. Richard walked over, whereupon his friend introduced him to the neighbor, a Spokane policeman. They chatted, and prior to leaving, Richard handed the off-duty policeman an issue of the Palouse Patriot, which contained the article, Dear Police Officer, or correction, Dear Peace Officer, along with a pamphlet describing the Oath Keeper organization. That's all, folks. Later, he finds out that his name, photo, and personal information are posted on a list in a police station along with other people listed as potential threats. He also learned a Spokane PD officer and a county sheriff's officer were assigned to keep track of him. Now, the article goes on to explain that the guy, Mr. Wiltsey, was removed from the list of potential threats after a meeting with Spokane County Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, who, in my opinion, is a patriot. Great guy. I've always liked what I've heard and read about him, and so we need more of him throughout the American Redoubt. Anyway, go and read that for yourself in its full length at palousepatriot.com or click on the link we've provided in the highlights and resources posting for today's show. And those folks over there at the Palouse Patriot are true lovers of liberty and, like us at Radio Free Redoubt, are strong supporters of constitutional government and oath-abiding law enforcement. So please follow and support the work they do. I don't know if they're supporters of the American Redoubt movement or if they even know about it, but they are a great watchdog group for liberty inside the American Redoubt. They operate right here in one of our states, and we're proud to count them as our fellow countrymen. These kinds of incidents are popping up all over the country, and it's alarming to say the least. But when properly confronted and when they feel pushback from the citizens, they back up a couple steps. And that's what needs to be happening continuously, especially in the American Redoubt. It's not easy, I know. It gets tiring. But like Thomas Paine so eloquently stated it, those who expect to reap the blessing of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Good stuff. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to point you to some other resources to learn more about the police state, and then we'll start shifting away from our brothers in law enforcement, start talking about the military and how DHS has plans for tooling our young men and women in uniform. Oh, there's so much information to cover, so stay right there and don't touch that mouse. I'm John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers. Don't forget to check out the videos page, found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage, as well as issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the video so they can continue keeping us informed.
You're listening to the one and only Radio Free Readout on a beautiful summery Sunday evening, and we're going to start shifting to the plans that people in powerful positions have for our military in carrying out their agenda of tyranny and using our military as a tool in their planning process. Now, I know this is kind of a heavy subject, and they won't all be this way. We want to be a voice of encouragement as we try to inform and inspire and equip those of you living here or moving here, or who may be living in what will emerge as future redoubts in other places around the country and the world. Talking about this stuff doesn't seem very encouraging, but it's real, and it's something that will affect us one day, sooner or later. So we can't stick our heads in the sand, and we'll be equipping you as we go to give you action plans. And as I've said before, we're not going to just drop a grenade in your lap and walk away, leaving you thinking, that's it? And what am I supposed to do with this? So we'll be revisiting these topics often and building on them in a continuous effort to keep you not just informed, but equipped. That makes sense, right? Does that make sense? Okay, good. Okay, now, the reason we want to keep you informed is so you're aware of the potential dangers to your liberty, your freedom, to your nation, and your way of life. So you can recognize what you're seeing for what it is. It's amazing how so many people swallow the lies when tyranny walks onto the scene proclaiming itself to be your savior, and that you need to just not ask questions. Don't ask why, just shut up and color, because all this is for your own good. I've posted several resources for you to look at over the next week, like the video put out by Alex Jones at prisonplanet.com. That video is titled Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. It's extremely informative, very well put together, and they've done a good job over at Prison Planet and InfoWars in putting the documentaries together. So just take it with a grain of salt, though. I love the work of Alex Jones and the stuff that he does, but sometimes he's kind of a drama queen, and I think he occasionally embellishes some information, and there's enough legitimate information out there pointing to the emergence of a Stasi-like police state. There's no need to exaggerate or blow some things up into something bigger than they really are. I understand the need for riot control gear, and I don't see big red flashing words, New World Order, in my head every time I see cops in riot control gear. Just this weekend, there were some, what was it, 27 cops injured in a riot that blew up out of nowhere in London this weekend over the protest of the death of apparently some dirtbag criminal, where his family held a protest saying, oh, even though he was involved in some stuff, he was really a good boy and didn't deserve to die. I'm not sure what all the details of it are yet. I'm just getting pieces of it. But then the demonstration turned into some anarchist looting, window smashing, vehicle burning, crazy riot that practically burned the neighborhood down. Spontaneous combustion. The world is getting crazy and more unstable by the minute. Hey, Joe, there's some anarchists down the street burning, looting, and rioting. Go take care of it. But make sure you don't do anything that'll get us sued or look inappropriate on camera. It's a lose-lose proposition for these guys, and I feel bad for them. Anyway, our military. Did you know that a law was passed to protect our citizens from the military carrying out civilian law enforcement duties, such as traffic stops, responding to crimes or other emergencies, or from serving warrants or carrying out any other duties that civilian law enforcement should be doing? This helps protect the country from military rule, and that law was called the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. Let's go to Wikipedia to see what it says. The Posse Comitatus Act is a United States federal law, 18 U.S. Code 1385, passed on June 18th, way back in 1878. Wyatt Earp was living. Okay. After the end of the Reconstruction, with the intention, in concert with the Insurrection Act of 1807, of substantially limiting the powers of the federal government to use the military for law enforcement. The act prohibits members of the army from exercising nominally state law enforcement, police, or peace officers' powers that maintain law and order on non-federal property. Of course, states and their counties and municipal divisions is what that covers. Within the United States, the statute prohibits Army and Air Force, catch this, the Army and Air Force personnel and units of the National Guard under federal authority from acting in a law enforcement capacity within the U.S., except where expressly authorized by the Constitution or Congress. Now, the Navy and the Marine Corps are prohibited by a DOD directive, a Department of Defense directive, not by the Posse Comitatus Act. See, I didn't know that. Now, the Coast Guard under the Department of Homeland Security is exempt from the act. I didn't know that either. See, I'm learning stuff too. Great law, except it was suspended in 2006. Check this out. On September 26, 2006, President Bush urged Congress to consider revising federal laws so that the U.S. Armed Forces could restore public order and enforce laws in the aftermath of a natural disaster. And this happened in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. These changes were included in the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act back in 2007, which was actually signed into law in October of 06. But, or it says, Section 1076 is titled Use of the Armed Forces in Major Public Emergencies. It provided that the president may employ the armed forces to restore public order and enforce the laws of the United States when, as a result of a natural disaster, an epidemic, or other serious public health emergency, terrorist attack, or incident, or other condition. I just love how vague they write this stuff. The president determines that domestic violence has occurred to such an extent that the constituted authorities of the states or possession are incapable of maintaining public order or to suppress in a state any insurrection, domestic violence, unlawful combination, or conspiracy if such a condition so hinders the execution of the laws that any part or class of its people is deprived of a right, privilege, immunity, or protection named in the Constitution and secured by law. Okay, so starting to get into a whole lot of blah, blah, blah. But basically what this is so vaguely written that they can activate the federal military for pretty much anything that they deem necessary. But wait, there's something I did not know until I started researching this. In 2008, these changes were repealed in their entirety, reverting to the previous wording of the Insurrection Act. And it references the site for that. Good news, right? It means that now our military can't be used for domestic law enforcement purposes again. So is that what's happening? Well, let's take a look. Remember in 2008, those changes were repealed in their entirety. So we go back to Posse Comitatus. But in the same year, in 2008, the Army Times released this article, and I read, Brigade Homeland Tours start October 1. 3rd Infantry's 1st Brigade Combat Team trains for a new dwell time mission. Helping people at home may become a permanent part of the active Army. The 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team has spent 35 of the last 60 months in Iraq, patrolling in full battle rattle, helping restore essential services and escorting supply convoys. That's where the story ends. Of course, the article doesn't mention that they also conducted roadblocks, cordon, and search operations looking for persons listed as threats and confiscating weapons. Anyway, then it goes on to say, now they're training for the same mission with a twist at home. Beginning October 1, for 12 months, the 1st Brigade Combat Team will be under the day-to-day control of the U.S. Army North, the Army Service component of NORTHCOM, or Northern Command, as an on-call federal response force for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters, including terrorist acts. This new mission marks the first time an active unit has been given a dedicated assignment to NORTHCOM, which is a joint command established in 2002 to provide command and control for federal homeland defense efforts and coordinate defense support for civil authorities. But that's for homeland defense, only to be used in special cases, right? I mean, that doesn't mean our military will be used in day-to-day law enforcement operations. Well, this week we received a link to a news article from a regular listener, dashing our hopes against the rocks. This was from Infowars.com and states the following. In Homestead, Florida, Posse Comitatus is dead. The Air Force now responds to civilian crime in the small city population of around 30,000. Juan Lumas, Security Forces Police Services Chief, justified the policy by stating that, quote, crime prevention is everyone's responsibility. The same article goes on to give numerous other examples where our military forces are being used for civilian law enforcement functions. Not a good trend. Read that article. It throws out a whole bunch of documented cases where our military is being used in civilian law enforcement capacities. Because our military is not only being desensitized to policing American citizens, they're also being conditioned on what to recognize as suspicious or a potential domestic threat. And if NORTHCOM had a brigade combat team at their disposal in order to support Homeland Security, you can just imagine the kind of training and indoctrination our young men and women are receiving. And remember what I said before, when the government oversteps its bounds legally and constitutionally speaking, and there isn't pushback and outcry from the people, then you just gave the government power they didn't have before. And it is so difficult and next to impossible to take that power back through the legal system and through peaceful means once that happens. Another thing that NORTHCOM has done that concerns me is the military agreement that it's entered into with the Canadians. This bilateral agreement would so-called authorize each country to deploy its military to the other country in the event of national emergencies, including civil unrest. I know you Canadian listeners don't really care for the idea of having American troops coming into your country to help with civil unrest. And woe to the Canadian military if it allows itself to be used in America against U.S. citizens, especially to cordon and search for weapons. Because psychologically, our leaders know there would likely be some hesitancy on the part of many in our military to be used against U.S. citizens. Could this be part of the plan to overcome some of those psychological barriers that could cause trepidation among our military if it's ordered to oppress its own citizens? It's becoming very apparent that a police state system is being put in place deliberately. Go through the resources that I've highlighted in the highlights and resources posting for today's show, week 10. You'll see just part of the mountain of evidence that's building, revealing the tools the government's putting in place that show undoubtedly that they are planning to use our law enforcement and our military as tools to do it. I don't want to see any of them get tooled by that system. Some, unfortunately, will volunteer to be tools. Some are already tools. But many are God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots who refuse to be tools. And maybe they just don't know what to do, and they're just as frustrated. Not to worry. We've got a message for you when we come back. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Psalm 91, 1 through 6 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Again, that was Psalm 91, 1 through 6. Sometimes, when we're faced with perilous and difficult circumstances, we need to be reminded to turn to God for strength and comfort, just as David did. May you be comforted by these scriptures as you meditate on them. I would challenge you to read it for yourself and ask God to help apply His Word to your life today and throughout the week ahead. You are tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
Okay, this is the final segment of tonight's broadcast, and I wanted to wrap this all up with a message to you, the American citizen, especially those of you in the American Readout, and to our cherished men and women in law enforcement, and those of you serving in the military, including, if not especially, our citizen soldiers in the National Guard and Reserves, who live and work and go to church and take your kids to soccer games right along the side of the rest of us in our communities. None of us want to see you used as a tool of the police state. And when I say they, I mean people in the government who have no regard for our Constitution. I mean the Stasi-like policies of the Department of Homeland Security. They have plans that, when fully carried out, will be the undoing of our nation. It will likely fragment our country, which appears to be deliberate. When the time comes, you need to have already made up your mind where you stand on certain issues. So, as far as the message to the citizens, to our fellow patriots, here's your action plan. First of all, you can't stop a tidal wave. And when the tidal wave comes, your action plan will change. But for right now, we're buying time. We're not facing a tidal wave yet. We're trying to plug holes in the dike to slow down the process so we and others have more time to prepare themselves for what appears to be an imminent collapse of our financial system and likely that of our culture and our society. That's when things will truly, really get ugly. So for now, number one, study the Word of God daily. Number two, stay informed. Turn your blinkety-blank TV off and start studying history and our American heritage. Go through and listen to every one of the Wall Builders American Heritage Series podcasts at least once, and then start all over again. And sit down and do this with your family, with your children, with your wife, and discuss it afterward. Number three, know your rights. Study the Constitution and especially the Bill of Rights. Number four, this ties in with number three. Watch the videos linked on today's highlights and resources page on dealing with police. If there is anything that gives the police state more power than anything, it is an ignorant citizen. This will be your undoing, and there will be no excuse. You need to educate yourself. Watch those videos. They're cheesy role play examples, but the points are invaluable. Okay, you got a former ACLU lawyer there that's doing some of the narrative. It's basically a holdover left wing hippie from, with a ponytail. But the information, he's right. Okay, so this isn't to learn how to be a jerk to police officers. This is about you knowing and exerting your constitutional God-given rights. Okay, so really good stuff. Those three videos. Now, number five, when you see or hear of police state actions or hear of demonization or criminalization of patriots, homeschoolers, people who believe in the Constitution or the teachings of our founding fathers, etc., get the word out. Contact Radio Free Readout so we can inform others and be actively involved and then take other steps. Okay, but first, let us know, let other people know, contact us. Okay, when you see this stuff going on, police state activity, contact us. Number six, when you see these things, contact every one of your elected officials from the local level all the way up to your congressman. Get them involved. That's one of the things that turned that event in Iowa around when they wanted to run this scenario based on a conservative right-wing guy with comes from a family of guns who was opposed to illegal immigration. That was a scenario. Those people contacted their congressman who seemed very concerned about the scenario. That works. It's effective. Number 7, with the help of others in the community, politely and professionally confront government officials who have been deceived into going along with the police state and the demonization of patriotic Americans as a result of the Homeland Security's indoctrination efforts. A perfect example of that was shown in the Police Patriot issue number 57, how they confronted that. And they went to the sheriff, and they did it with a number of people representative of their community and approached the sheriff. He was very well receiving of them, and that was effective. Please go to that site and read that issue. Very well done, and it was extremely effective. It worked. Victory. Okay, number 8, watch for agent provocateurs. If someone you don't know intimately asks you to do something illegal, walk away. If someone asks you about converting a weapon to full auto, or to saw the barrel off of a shotgun, or to build a silencer, or to build a pipe bomb, don't walk away from these people. Run. You'll see this with more frequency as time goes on, especially as the defamation efforts against the Tea Party and the Patriot Movement accelerates. Number 9, inform others who will listen, but remember OPSEC. If you notice a person has bought into the demonization propaganda against patriots, do not discuss it with them any further. Okay, you start talking about police state and things like that. This person's bought into that side. Just say, yeah, I see what you're saying. You're probably right. And drop it. Because one day that person may feel like a real hero for calling into a hotline to report any information that they may have about people with extremist views. And you might just come to mind. Okay, so OPSEC. 10, be part of your community as a contributor, not a hermit, and build relationships among community leaders, law enforcement personnel, and others who will be in positions of authority or influence, who will be supportive and protective of its citizens on the day when DHS wants to exert itself as a strong presence in your community. The article posted on Survival Blog by an insider offers some great advice on that as well. So read it. Very important. Okay, for our men and women in law enforcement and the military, you people have a very special place in my heart. And everyone I know personally are very supportive of you. In fact, I have many friends in both career fields, the military and law enforcement, who are strong patriots. They don't like what they see what's going on. They're aware of it. And they know that one day they'll have to make a decision. Most have already made that decision. They've drawn a line in the sand, and when the time comes, they know exactly what they will do. Whether they've joined an organization or just resolved in their own consciences, they're what we call oath keepers. When you defend and protect us, and you're true in your heart to defend and protect the Constitution you swore an oath to defend, you are our friends, allies, and our fellow countrymen. And you have our undying support. But there's a struggle inside of you, a tug of war. But to those of you who will blindly follow the orders of your superiors and who view patriotic, God-fearing American citizens as the enemy or a potential domestic terrorist threat, you become part of the system that's engineered to destroy our nation and usher in tyranny and oppression. Which those of us in the American Redoubt have vowed to resist. There are people out there who are so fed up with the tyranny that's creeping in and so sick and tired of the blatant disregard for our Constitution and our traditional American values. What exists right now culturally is a powder keg. And those of you who are willing to go along with the plans of the tyrants and who are ready to take action against American patriots are holding a match in your hand. What you do with it, if you decide to strike that match, can't be undone. So I urge you to carefully consider which side of the fence you want to be on. John Jacob Schmidt, are you making threats? No, I'm giving you a warning based on the frustration anyone with a brain can see that's building. I've seen it before throughout the world. Your action plan, very simple. Number one, consider the oath you took and really think about what it means. Join Oath Keepers, either by actually joining or joining them and being in agreement and joining the Oath Keepers in spirit. Let me read to you the oath of enlistment that's taken by every service member. The officer's oath is nearly identical. I, insert your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. Number two, know and understand the Constitution, the limits placed on the government by that amazing, divinely inspired document, and adhere to it, and refuse to follow orders that are in direct conflict with it. Number three, have your situational awareness turned on high. Pay attention to what's going on and attend all the training and planning by people like DHS as you possibly can. But guard your mind, because their arguments are very convincing, especially if you haven't already decided where you will stand on the issues. Number four, if you see the expansion of the police state or plans for controlling the citizens or martial law, inform others. You also need to express your concerns to your elected officials. But we also ask that you contact us or James Rawls to keep your fellow patriots informed. You can do this anonymously, and we know, and you need to know that we will always treat your contact information with confidentiality. You can email us from a public internet access like the library or a coffee shop using a web-based email account such as Yahoo, Gmail, or even Twitter. Okay, number five. If you are a patriot in law enforcement or the military and you want to help in the Patriot movement or the American Redoubt movement, but don't want to make contact at this time, we understand. But be watchful, prayerful, and remember the oath you took. So when you're ready, you can contact us to find out how you can contribute to the preservation of freedom, our Judeo-Christian ideals, and our American heritage. When you're ready, we'll be here in some form or another. In many instances in the past, from World War II to the Cold War, there were many people on the inside who were critical in defeating tyranny and oppression because they operated in capacities that gave them access to operational information not available to the outside world, that as a result of patriotic policemen or soldiers, statesmen or clergy, they saved lives in France. There are men and women and children who love you, who love America, and who cherish traditional American values, both in this age and in future generations, who are counting on you, who, when the power to oppress or liberate is placed in your hands, that you'll rise to the occasion and do the right thing. Will you be ready? Will you stand with liberty or tyranny? And God be with you in the choices that you make today. Now, we're openly inviting you to contact us, whether in the very near future or sometime later when you feel the time is right. But I also want to say this to our agent provocateurs who have made up in your mind that patriots who cherish the United States Constitution are enemies of the state. If you come forward with malicious intent to deceive and entrap, I have to warn you, I'm a very perceptive person. And if you have malintent in your heart, I'll sniff you out. And one thing I've learned over the years is that my gut is always right, so I trust it. Just keep that in mind. I'm running a little long tonight, and although there's enough information on this topic to make this a six-week series, I won't. You have enough resources to become informed, and hopefully you have a pretty good idea about the role and the vision for Radio Free Readout when it comes to this topic. But like I said, this isn't the last of it. We'll be revisiting the topic from time to time, and especially we'll be keeping you up to date with new information as it develops. Be sure to join us next week when we talk about martial law. Is it coming? What does that even mean? What could it look like? And what can you do about it? That's what's on the agenda coming up. Until then, you have a lot of homework to do throughout the week. Make sure you hit that. Everything we talked about and more is posted on our highlights and resources page for week 10, August 7th, 2011. So check it out. We look forward to hearing from you as usual, to hear your feedback, ideas, and suggestions for Radio Free Redoubt as a project and the American Redoubt movement. Right after the show tonight, we'll be airing an old-time radio show from I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's episode, titled Draw the Red Curtain. We hope you enjoy it. That'll give us enough time while that's playing to cue up the show that you just listened to so we can re-air it in about 28 minutes from now in case you missed any of it. Remember, all the views and opinions of the hosts and guests at Radio Free Redoubt are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of others in the American Redoubt movement. Thanks again for listening. We've enjoyed being with you tonight, as always. And we look forward to being with you again next Sunday, Lord willing, at 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain. Don't forget to check out the pre-show broadcast then as well. It'll start about an hour out from, so about 6 o'clock roughly, or 7 o'clock Mountain. Listen to broadcasts from the American Heritage Series as well as the International Spy Museum's Spycasts to learn about espionage, the underground, and resistance against tyranny in the Cold War, as well as current issues in the war on terror and political and military threats around the world. God bless you and yours and all that you set your hand to in your preparations for the difficult times ahead. Until we meet again next Sunday, have a great week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.